Welcome to Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
And Tony Casella.
Caller analyst, Jeff Lagerman.
And Tony Casella.
And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher.
And Tony Casella.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
Good evening and welcome to Jaguars This Week, live from Everbank Field. And this portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by our friends at Football Fanatics. We're here for the next hour. We've got so much to talk about. We needed a four-hour show tonight. You can join us 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. The senior writer, Jaguars.com, John Osher is here. Tony Boselli, the commissioner of Team Teal. And, of course, Jeff Lagerman is right here in the studio. So fire it off, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. 6351. So where do you want to begin? Today's festivities in Indianapolis.
I mean, Peyton Manning, I mean, that's you know, some of the biggest news in the league in a long time.
Maybe in my tenure in this league, which is 18 years.
And, you know, it's going to be free agency has essentially started now. I mean, because that's the first, you know, I guess you could say the shoe to drop, and we're going to see what happens, you know. And I don't know exactly who is interested and who is not interested because, you know, most teams aren't going to end up playing their cards open on the table.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of teams that are probably interested that people have no idea in the world that they're interested. So
let me ask the question.
Before you go there, is this any bigger than Joe Montana?
Yes.
Why?
Because
Joe Montana won three, four Super Bowls?
When Montana went to Kansas City, he was no longer in his prime.
But neither is Peyton.
Well, no, but the last time we saw him, he was in his prime.
He was as good as he'd ever been.
Here's why.
Montana was still pretty good. He was good enough to take
the Chiefs team to the playoffs.
I would say, but I was playing against Joe in that era, and Joe was nowhere near what he was in his heyday in San Francisco.
But I would argue it's a long way. We are jumping to a lot of conclusions to think that Peyton Manning will ever be the same as he was.
Let me just say this. I was in Kansas when they signed him. And you know, it's interesting. The Chiefs have never drafted a quarterback, drafted a quarterback now who has taken them to the playoffs. Never. You go all the way back to Len Dawson, they grabbed him off the street. And all the guys, whether it was Elvis Gerbach or Steve Bono, they've never drafted.
Matt Blundin.
That's an incredible stat, by the way.
They never have. they've never done it. They've done it with guys Steve.
Bono.
But I was thinking about McCown.
DeBerg.
Steve DeBerg. Okay, so my point is this. I lived in Kansas City, and I was working in Kansas when they signed Joe Montana, and it was a huge story there. I don't know around the rest of the league because we didn't have the media that we have today.
That's my point. I'm not saying.
Well, then, in that case, you're right. In Kansas City, it was enormous. And remember, he took him to the AFC title game.
I remember.
Beat by Jim Kelly and the Bills. But for 1 year, it was a huge story.
That's my point. It's impossible to know.
But if we
would have gone back and there was social media and Twitter and ESPN, how it is now, and the NFL Network, and how this is covered, wouldn't it be just as big a deal?
Yeah. Can I read you real quick? Here are the headlines on Pro Football Talk. Jets have already inquired about Peyton Manning. Manning makes trip to Miami. Andy Reid, we're obviously happy with Michael Vick. Report Broncos will inquire about Peyton Manning. Reggie Wayne gets animated about the possibility of guys playing with Peyton Manning in Miami. And cutting Peyton gives Colts $16 million in dead money. It just goes on and on.
There's a nice little Michael Bennett story on there. Did you skip?
Which one? Oh, yeah, Bucks give Michael Bennett a first-rounder. Okay. Okay, there you go. The heck are they doing giving Michael Bennett a first-rounder?
There are no other free agents until Peyton Manning signs.
Yeah.
At least for the next week.
So should they be interested here?
With that said, I think it's a huge deal.
It's a huge deal.
I'm not trying to downplay it, but I was trying to think of other big free agents. I would still contend that the Reggie White was a bigger free agent back in his heyday because he was –
He was big.
Because he was the first.
He was the first. That was the biggest deal going on, and he was in his prime. He was the best defensive player in football.
But Hall of Fame quarterbacks, I mean, Hall of Fame shoe-ins, you know, great, maybe the greatest passer the league has ever seen. And the last time we saw him play, he was playing at an elite level.
Well, what was it that you wrote? It's barely been over 2 years, and they were 14-0.
Yeah, I mean,
how things can change.
And the next year, it was 2010, last year he played. They had multiple injuries at the receiver position.
And he was still keeping them afloat.
And he was not playing at any different levels he had played. When he walked off the field against the Jets, there was no talk, there were no whispers among people around the team that, hey, he's losing this, he's losing that. So
should Gene Smith, should Shad Khan, should the football minds be looking at him based on what happened today? I mean, the reason I'm asking you, because you've said it before on the show, but I'm asking to see if it's changed, your opinion has changed at all.
I would.
All things being equal, yes, but we don't really know exactly, you know, money situation, what Peyton went, but, you know, certainly he's the one guy that you break the form
for. I would kick the tires.
Always kick the tires.
Somebody wrote that if you spend a lot of time going through the medical and you spend a lot of time doing your background, you're not going to sign him because someone else is going to swoop in and get him and offer him. It's going to be incentive laden, but offer him a deal and get it done fast.
I don't think that he is going to do a deal fast. I don't see that out of him. You know, but you want to kick the tires because you know what? It doesn't matter how interested you are. It all depends on his level of interest.
Sure.
I mean, that's the type of player that he is. You know, and he's going to determine where he's going to play.
And usually, I'm usually all about build through the draft, do it the right way. There is a way to do it in this league. But that's under normal circumstances. This is not a normal circumstance.
No.
This is a guy who comes in, and there's a handful of guys who truly make differences in terms of how many wins you're going to get. This is one of that handful.
Let me ask you a question, just to play the devil's advocate on this one. If he's so great and so healthy and going to make such a huge impact on a team, why in the heck aren't the Colts keeping him?
I think it got to the point where they knew they had to take Luck, and you can't – Luck and Manning don't work.
And I think it's
because if Manning's in the building, Luck gets no.
Okay,
reps.
Let me ask you. But no,
it's more than that. Though. About money.
It's about money, but.
Well, about money. If it's about money. Someone else is going to be about money. Someone else is going to have to pay a huge price if he is healthy. I promise you that.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It might be incentive laden, but it's going to be a huge price.
I don't think it'll be that incentive laden.
If I don't either.
Right.
Because I think it's going to be a lot of competition, so people are going to be forced to guarantee money. So if you're the Colts. And everyone's so excited about Peyton Manning because he's going to make a difference and he's going to get somebody over the top for the next 2 to 3 years. Why would you take that valuable pick if you're the Colts?
Well, because
at number one and trade it for a boatload of picks and build your team up around Manning and take another shot at it if he is that healthy and he is that guy. That's why there has to be a little bit of hesitation because the very team that has him is willing to let him walk.
Because when
I
you
think
let
Peyton
go,
has something to do with that
when,
too.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're going to get rid of a Hall of Famer, you got to have a little luck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, how
it's
does
a
he
great
have,
line.
I mean, really.
How does
yeah,
he
that's
have,
a great line.
How
does but he not, one to take, not wanting to give the Colts a chance to have the incentive-laden deal, he doesn't have time to wait. He doesn't necessarily have time to assume they're going to be good in 2014 or 2015. And even if you draft guys, if you get rid of Reggie, if you get rid of Dallas Clark, you're talking about bringing young receivers up around them. It's going to take time.
So what you're saying is their entire cap situation, it's not just the quarterback position in his neck.
Well, that's what Irsay strongly hinted today. He said they're going to have to make more cost-cutting moves to get down to the cap to sign draft picks, which leads me to believe that Dwight Freeney might be available. Reggie ain't coming back, obviously. Dallas Clark, I think there's going to be some names, based on what Jim said today. It looks like there's going to be some names coming out that have only been whispered about.
And all of that news is great news for Jaguar fans.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
awesome.
You're,
blow the place up.
The division, you know, nemesis has just gotten rid of a Hall of Fame quarterback and just said that we're going to have to release a lot of guys that are really good players.
Dwight Freeney is arguably a Hall of Fame player himself.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, <you're>
pop the cork.
Yeah.
The Colts are in a major rebuild mode. That's good news for this football team.
And it's funny, I got a couple of tweets before the show started. Please don't turn this into Peyton Manning hour, and we won't. But it's obviously a division team, and it's obviously a guy who, you know.
It's big news.
Yeah.
In the league today. You want us to talk about the Saints and Bounty Gate the entire time?
I'd rather not.
Yeah, well, it's the big news around the National Football League today. Peyton Manning is officially a free agent, and he will start his shopping. I'm going to guess he is really going to enjoy this.
Sure.
I mean, he is going to enjoy the.
He's not
of
without ego, John. Right? I mean, you covered the guy.
No, he's. I mean, he's a lot of great things, but he, you know, ego is certainly. Well, you guys know you can't be at that level without.
No.
having an incredible amount
I'm not trying to down the guy because he's got an ego. I mean, that's what makes him great.
No, he likes the spotlight. I mean,
that's okay.
He likes the spotlight.
That's
but he handles
okay.
it well, so you don't mind it as much.
But I wonder how many private jet frequent flyer miles that Peyton Manning is going to rack up in the next week or two. You know what he's going to say? He's going to, I've got my own pilot. I've got my own plane. Contact them. Take care of the bill, and I'll see you when you need me there.
Yeah. It's going to be a fascinating thing to watch.
Mm-hmm. There may be more money spent on the, I don't know, what's the proper word? On the
travel.
Dating, you know, the recruitment of Peyton Manning than any free agent in NFL history.
John, give us a handicap where you think he's going.
You know, in sort of having that discussion that you have with people when something like this happens, I just can't help keep thinking about the Jets. I mean, there's something about Miami. I'm just not sure the situation in Miami makes as much sense as people think. It's going to have to be a situation where the coach is willing to share the spotlight and willing to allow that offense to come in, because he's not going to go run somebody else's offense. It's going to have to be the offense that he's played with, that he can change plays.
Do you say that because Tom Moore was a consultant for them this year and maybe he's opened the door a bit?
You know, I just think it's a coaching staff that has been there a while. Rex is more of a defensive guy. I think Rex is less concerned about having his offensive system. You know, he doesn't care what offensive system.
Who is the offensive coordinator?
Sperano.
Right.
Tony Sperano.
Come on.
I mean, Tony Sperano, yeah. Hey, guess what? You know, Rex Ryan. This is Rex Ryan calling Tony. Hey, Tony.
Tom Moore will be taking over.
Yeah, Tom Moore is going to be the senior offensive coordinator, and you're going to like it. And we've got Peyton Manning signed. Peyton will run the offense. Thank you very much.
I heard somebody say on NFL Network last night, somebody just kind of threw out an idea. You know, can Mark Sanchez and Peyton Manning coexist?
Sure.
And the conversation is Rex calls him into the office and says, Mark, you're going to coexist with Peyton. And Mark goes, okie doke.
That's right.
Got it. Thank you.
All right. We've reached time for our first timeout of the evening. You're listening to Jaguars This Week on an information-packed Wednesday evening here at EverBank Field. You're listening to Jaguars Radio. Well, Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try it out today at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. Not to beat a dead horse, but this headline now, ProFootballTalk.com, Seahawks moving quickly to reach out to Peyton Manning. So this story's not going away. Free agency opens at 4 o'clock next Tuesday. We will talk about that in our second half hour this evening after we break for news. We'll focus the last 5 minutes here on the whole thing with New Orleans. And Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis both publicly apologized today. They offered a joint statement, accepting responsibility.
You know what that means.
Please don't kill us.
It's a coming.
Yeah, they know it's coming.
You know, Greg Williams, I don't think is
he might never coach again.
Extremely popular in the National Football League, never has been.
No.
And I really believe that he will not coach for a year. His suspension will be a year.
Minimum.
Yes. I could see it permanent.
And
if it's true that he was paying guys to injure players, it's one thing to give rewards for big hits, which I always said.
Because that's been around forever.
And I always thought that's pointless because no one's thinking about it when the guy's going across. I get an extra $5,000 if I hit him. You're going to hit him hard no matter what.
Right.
I guarantee you Jeff never rushed the passer thinking, boy, if I can hit him real hard, I'm going to get an extra $500 or whatever.
No.
So that doesn't bother me. But what does bother me, if there's bounties to injure players, I don't think he might never coach again.
You're right. He will be.
Especially in the climate that we're in today.
That's why my point, yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely going to, I believe, I don't want to say definitely because I don't know.
Yeah.
But I believe that he is going to have a year suspension bang right out of the gate.
Right.
I believe that Sean Payton will have a fine that will be in the neighborhood of $500,000.
I think he's suspended as well.
I think he'll get a half season.
No, I don't think so.
I could see him getting a whole year.
I think it's going to be a monumental fine for Sean Payton.
I don't see how you don't suspend him.
And the Saints will lose draft picks. It's coming.
I could see Mickey Loomis being suspended without pay because he was ordered by
the
owner to stop it, and he never
did.
He
didn't, right.
See, that's what's baffling to me is that the owner didn't.
Sean,
as he found out about this.
I could see Sean Payton being suspended for a year because he knew about this. He knew that he was told to stop, and he didn't. And I can see Greg Williams not coaching.
You know, everywhere that Greg Williams has been, they're going back to Houston and Tennessee, and then to Buffalo when he was the head coach, and then to Washington, and then to New Orleans. They kind of skipped the 1 year here that he was the defensive coordinator.
Wasn't here long enough.
No, I would agree. He was there. He was almost everywhere else at least 3 years. I never heard about it when he was here. I mean, those sorts of things we would have heard about.
Sure.
Somebody would have let it out.
And heard you guys nothing. Were here, but hadn't he sort of checked out at some point? I mean,
well, Jack didn't let him. Jack didn't let him run his defense.
Right.
Was the
true.
Word.
Yeah, that was.
And if that's the case,
that
maybe
was
he kind care
of a, that was a strange year, because you know Greg came in and initially wanted to run his stuff and started to, and then it didn't work. In the first part of the season, and then that was it, man. Greg Williams' defense went out the window. They went back to playing what Jack knew. And I don't know how the right way to say this, but Greg didn't have his alpha male costume on like he usually does.
Maybe he didn't care enough to have the bounties here is what I was getting at. I mean, it just didn't make any
– He knew it was a one-stop shop,
right,
and then
so
he was gone.
Bother?
The whole bounty thing's so stupid to me in the sense of, I mean, it's wrong that – force to injure somebody. It's not the
spirit. You know,
but I tried to explain this to people, and they don't. Maybe I didn't explain it correctly. Every time you're on the field, every time I lined up, I was trying to physically punish that player, and physically trying to dominate him, and physically making him stop the play. I didn't think I want to hurt him, but I wanted him out of the game.
Right.
I wanted to punish him.
Within the boundaries
within
of the rules.
Within the rules. I mean, that's the game of football. And I remember people saying, oh, that's wrong. No, that's football. Now, if I purposely injured him, it'd be wrong. But it wouldn't stop me from blocking a player. That's part of the game.
Right.
It's trying to stop him from getting to the quarterback. If I have a chance, remember Michael McCrary, you can't do it now, but I would snatch Michael McCrary, get him on the ground, and I would try to pile drive him and then lay on him until the play was over.
Right.
And I know Jeff would try to hit the quarterback as hard as he possibly can and to take the life out of him, because if he wasn't happy back there or comfortable back in the pocket, we had a better chance of winning.
The way
and
it
so
is.
And so that's part of the game.
But,
now,
but never had goes, a monetary, you know, surprise.
I never even think about it. I mean,
reward. Never. You didn't have to have it. But now, I mean, there were many teams that I played on that the players amongst themselves would have.
Big
money
hit.
And big hit, you know. Here, you know, here
remember,
we got a pot. You know, you get a big hit, you cause a fumble,
cause fumble,
you get an interception,
$500 or whatever. Just fun
Look,
stuff that you do is motivation and camaraderie more than anything else.
But
the
never,
thing
never
that has
the
injury.
Saints in hot water is they defied authority. They were told to stop and they didn't.
That's the key.
Otherwise, the NFL says stop, they stop, and it gets
over.
And it's over. The Saints for a long time have had a reputation as being rather arrogant, and this is a case where they continue to do something when they were told to stop. It's like with your kids. If they make a mistake once, okay, they're punished. If they make a mistake again and they defy you, it's different.
And I think it goes even further. I agree with that, John, but I'll take it one step further. When they started making the bounties about injuring players.
Sure. John Vilma's comments.
If you put a guy on the stretcher, that's where all of a sudden, especially in the environment we are today, where the league is taking a stance to protect players as they should, that you can't do that.
You can't. It has
but
to be.
But if
harsh.
They had stopped,
it would be better.
It would still
I
be
still
a situation
think even,
they would have swept it under the rug.
You're probably right. I still think, though,
it's
that
a black
if
eye.
It would come
it's
out as
eye.
Injuring, purposely injuring somebody, I still think they would have got some bad PR, but I don't think the venom of the entire world would be after them. But I think it's too harsh to say Greg never coaches again. I do think there needs to be a significant, at least a year. But I could see Sean Payton getting a year as well. He's the head coach. I mean, maybe a half a year. But I think he misses games. I think Goodell misses that Sean Payton does not coach all 16 games.
I'd be shocked if he doesn't miss.
And I wonder, even though it's totally unrelated, but that whole pill thing thing that was kind of, you know, pushed to the side, you know, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
That didn't help.
You know,
lack
you
of
talk about a pass there, and then all of a sudden to defy the league after what
the arrogance you were
perceived,
talking about.
Perceived
been,
to be
there's
a
always
pass.
Been whispers about the arrogance.
If it was the NCAA, they'd be getting dinged for lack of institutional control.
That's exactly what it is. Tell your people to stop and they don't, it's shocking.
I can't believe they're not fired.
Hasn't done anything.
I can't believe they didn't. They didn't fire one of them.
I need to take control here. We got news at the bottom of the hour. More to come.
Control.
When we come back, we'll talk about free agency, which opens next Tuesday. You're listening to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on Jaguars Radio. All right, rolling right along. You're about 23 minutes left in our program this evening. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Boselli, John Osher, Joe Fortunato. All right, free agency opens on Tuesday. There's been a lot of talk. You know, I mean, early on when Mr. Khan bought the team, spend to the cap, get out there and chase it. And then that was pulled back a couple of weeks ago. I mean, Gene said what? At the combine or right shortly before it, he made the comment, we're not going to be as active, so don't, you know. So what do you think this team's best course of action is, and what do you think they ultimately do? Do you have enough of a sense of it? I mean, should they be out there signing the big contracts?
Well, I don't think that words mean anything. I think that the actions will speak and for what your position truly is.
Right.
I don't put too much stock into what Gene said, that we're not going to be as active as people may think. Well,
right. What does that mean?
What does that mean? Right. You know, you don't know. Means – you know, that maybe you're not going to be active in, you know, three top-tier free agents like maybe people would think, or does it mean that, you know, you're not going to be any interest in any of the top free agents?
Or are you going to sign one guy instead of six?
Yeah, you don't know.
Right.
You know, but there's a lot of guys that are out there, and there's going to be more that are going to be out there in the coming months. So you're going to be able to do a lot of things to your roster and not have to spend a lot of money, but I don't know what that definition is for this team.
Well,
you can address needs in free agency without signing three guys the first day.
Yes.
For cap breaking money. Tony, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I was just going to say, let's think about Shad Khan. Shad Khan bought this team and no one knew it about it until the morning he bought it. Nobody. We hired Mike Mularkey, and there was speculation all over the place, but nobody knew who the coach was going to be except for him and Gene Smith until it was announced. And so it's just two events since he's been the owner. No one knew Mark Lamping was going to be the new president until the
day. And there was negotiations going on for how long to purchase the team?
Until the day
over
that
a year?
Mark Lamping was hired.
Right.
And so my sense is, I don't know what they're going to do.
Right. Clearly, he is not a guy who cares about sending smoke signals.
I don't think Shad really is out there trying to send signals one way or another.
And neither is Gene. That's
and neither
Gene's
is Gene.
MO.
And they probably don't care.
Maybe the
of
greatest,
all the speculation.
Maybe
and
the
so my
greatest
guess
poker
is,
face of all.
My guess is, guess when we're going to find out?
You just don't know.
You don't.
We're going to find out March 13th. And I don't
That's
think
what,
4
anybody, o'clock? 4 o'clock, yeah.
I don't think anybody knows. I don't care what people say in this building. I don't care what people say in the city. I don't care what people say in the media.
There's two people.
There's Shad Khan and there was Gene Smith. And besides that, I don't know. I can speculate. I can wish. I can hope as a fan, as someone who loves the organization. But I don't know.
All right. So since we can't really put our finger on what the strategy is going to be, what's your guy? Who's your guy? What's your move? I mean, if you've got a check,
I want to go get Mario Williams.
Don't be
Sean
silly. Come on,
Marcus Golston.
Come on,
I'm joking.
You know that.
I know.
By the way, there's so few big name guys out there that if you're not going to get many of them. Because
let me just say what I would hope we would do throughout free agency and the draft. You need to go get two receivers. You need another corner. And you need a pass rusher. I don't care how you do it, whether it's during free agency or during the draft. It does not matter to me. That's what I'd like to see this team do.
And I think you can get help at receiver without necessarily getting two of the guys everybody's talking about. There's going to be a perception on next Wednesday that if Vincent Jackson and Marcus Colston aren't sitting in the building, that they failed. There's going to be people out there who say that. And that's just not the case. You can get help at wide receiver in this free agency class without necessarily signing two of those guys. Two of the four guys that everybody's talking about.
Well, and I think you go back just to the history of this franchise, and listen, there's only been two marquee receivers. And there was, you know, Jimmy and Keenan. But in 1995, were we the worst offense in football that year?
Felt like it.
Looked like it.
Go back and look. I don't
know. The only thing that I remember that year is that we weren't very good offensively, and I remember we only had 17 sacks as a defense. That's all I remember.
I just remember we had 17 sacks, and people were going – how come you only have 17 sacks? And my thought was, if we scored some points where the other team felt like they had to throw the ball, we might be able to rush the passer.
Yeah, we didn't work very well together. But then we signed Keenan McCardell, was the only receiver we signed, and he wasn't a huge free agent.
No.
We did get an Andre Rison right before training camp because he had been cut. He didn't really work out. But Mark went on to throw for over 4,000 yards back when very few people threw for 4,000 yards. And we had a very prolific passing game and a up-tempo offense. Mm-hmm. And the only real change was we added a right tackle in Leon Searcy, and we added Keenan McCardell.
Keenan and Jimmy. And then Jimmy stepped developed.
Up. Right. By midway through that season, you could tell Jimmy was going to be special. Natron Means you came guys in, were, too, but that wasn't a huge.
No, but my point is.
Right.
And you were 28th.
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 Out of 30.
Yeah, you were 17th rushing the ball, 27th passing, 21st on defense.
Hmm? How were it sacks?
Against the run and 17th against the pass. 17th. They don't have it listed here by team. I can look it up. But
no, I just
and we had how many sacks?
17.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. I got four of them.
Yeah, that 28th offensive ranking, a lot of that came in mop-up time. I mean, your point was that was not a very good offense.
No,
that year, and it got significantly better quick.
Yeah, it got better quick. And so and I know the fans get frustrated hearing back to those days because we haven't had a lot to cheer about since those days. And I know at the receiver position, people get tired of hearing about Jimmy and Keenan because we haven't had any receivers since Jimmy and Keenan. But it's just So if I put my fan hat on, I want them to spend money because that's exciting, and it makes this time of the year fun, and it gets energy, and people get excited, which leads to people, paying more attention to the team and ticket sales and all. That's fun stuff. That doesn't mean a bit when it comes to winning and losing games, but we're not in the winning and losing games business right now. We're in the perception business. We're in the excitement business. So as a fan, that would be exciting to me. Is it the best thing to do? I don't know. I don't sit here all day watching film with Gene Smith and his staff evaluating it and looking at the roster and looking at this cap and how much money we really have to spend and really what we can do and what those numbers are really going to cost. When it comes to that, my guess is the four of us are pretty much like the rest of the people that love football. We read stuff. We know who the big-name guys are, and we have wish lists that we'd love them on our team, just like the other 32 teams.
Hey, this team's going to be able to upgrade the wide receiver position without having to spend a lot of money.
In other words, you're not going to spend $13 million a year on a wide receiver.
You don't have to do that. I mean,
Are you probably wise to do
or,
it?
Or yeah. There's no blueprint. How many teams have gone out and spent a ton of money and have had it work?
Not very many.
Not many.
This last year defensively is one of the few cases that's happened. And
the Eagles spent a boatload. They went backwards. The Redskins spend a boatload every year. They go backwards every year. I mean, there's
but
not.
This is not a roster with tons of glaring needs. There's actually probably as many needs on defense as there are on offense right now. It's like Tony said, you need two receivers, you need a corner, and you need a defensive end. And
then if you don't sign Lowry, you're going to need a safety, free safety.
Right.
I want to see a Drew Coleman. I mean, that was a key signing for him last year, wasn't it? The way that their defense played, and nobody really paid any attention to it.
That's right.
If you knew football, you did.
Drew Coleman, Lowry.
We all sat here going, that's a good signing.
We did, but the average fan, perception business.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
It wasn't sexy.
Well, it wasn't sexy.
Dwight Lowry wasn't
sexy. He was sure sexy by the time the season started. Signing.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. And that's what I'm saying. You're going to go sign one, maybe? One of those sexy perception moves, but a lot of Drew Coleman's helps you more than a bunch of Vincent Jacksons.
What, you can get four or five Drew Coleman's for one Vincent Jackson?
Yeah, essentially.
But
there were as many people last offseason upset that the Jaguars didn't sign a cornerback to take care of that huge problem, quote-unquote, as who were happy about signing Paul Posluszny.
And Derek Cox and Rasheem Mathis played.
Right, that's my point.
They were beat up at the end, but when they were healthy.
That six-week stretch there.
Right.
Golly,
what people won in free agency doesn't always equate to the right things to do in free agency.
All right, we need a break.
But we are in the perception business right now, so it's going to be a big story.
That said, I hope they sign everybody.
Yeah, exactly. All right, break time. We'll come back one more segment, Jaguars This Week, here on a Wednesday evening from Everbank Field, and you're listening to Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, live from Everbank Field, and we're here until straight up 7 o'clock. You know, the pool of free agents is obviously gotten smaller with the franchise tag. I mean, there's just not that many guys out there right now that are worthy of that big number.
Franchise tag and then contracts that got worked out. I mean, Robert Mathis, Stevie Johnson.
I'm surprised Stevie Johnson got done.
I'm surprised that it got done at the number that it got done at, because if I remember correctly, he was averaging right around $7 a year, and the guaranteed was 11-ish.
Yeah.
You know, and for a guy that the franchise tag would have cost, what, 9.4 for?
I think he would have got more money in the free market.
You always get more in a free market.
I think he would have got more money. I'm shocked that they got that deal done. I'm shocked that he signed it, and I'm shocked Buffalo paid it.
I'm not shocked that they paid it.
Right.
I'm shocked that he agreed to it.
Like a lot of teams, looked around and said, we've got to get this. I think if he had held out for more, he probably could have gotten more from him, because I think Buffalo, like a lot of teams, saw a dwindling wide receiver market. Which it is dwindled. I mean, there's no question. It is not what it was a month ago. But that's always the story in free agency.
Mm-hmm. That's why
it always dwindled.
Last week we said we'll see what happens to find out what the available pool
right.
is.
And it's not like the Jaguars didn't know that this was going to happen to the market. You know, in January, that list that you see on Pro Football Talk is going to be a third of what it is that day in March.
Well, and the list is not done shrinking yet. I mean, right. there's, you know,
4 or 5 days left.
Yeah, you got 4 or 5 days here for the teams to re-sign the guys that are going to become free agents. And there will be some more that fall by the time Tuesday rolls around.
Well, yeah.
But I think most of the wide receivers who are out there, the people are talking about Garcon, Colston, I don't think those guys are going to get re-signed. The word is that those two guys, among several of the other wide receivers, are going to be out there. Vincent Jackson's going to be out there. But I don't expect a major play for Vincent Jackson from here.
No, I don't either. But another thing you got to be always a little bit leery of in free agency is there's a reason their team didn't want to sign them back. Now, sometimes it's financial.
Right.
So, like in the Saints case, they can't franchise them because they franchised Drew Brees. So, that's one you'd want to look at harder. Pierre Garçon, the Colts can't sign him.
Right, they tried to.
They tried to.
He rejected it.
Vincent Jackson, though, they could have franchised him. They could pay him.
Yeah, but the
they
franchise tag would have cost them $13 million, over $13 million.
I understand that, but they don't want them. They didn't try to franchise them. They haven't tried from all the reports I read, they're not aggressively
right.
trying to sign him.
No, they've been aggressive. They've gotten it done. Yeah.
Maybe, well, I don't know. I think they wanted to say, hey, look, you know, we can't franchise you at that number. And maybe Vincent Jackson's camp said, hey, look, we're gonna go to the market and we're going to find out what right. that number's going to be.
And maybe go back.
And we can still talk them. You know, so, I mean, there are some players that, you know, from talking from personnel people, general manager, whatever, talking to agents and talking to the player, they know that sometimes the conversation before free agency starts is wasted effort. You know, some players you just have to let to get the market so that the true value can be determined.
But I mean, every year, if you look at free agency, there's maybe one or two guys that are clean. Who you
right,
say?
That's my point.
Yeah, this guy is a guy who can't miss. Other than that, if a guy is can't miss,
he's signed.
The
unless
team that
financial.
Has him is not going to miss.
That's my whole point. I mean, these guys always have. There's a reason they're free. And then sometimes it's financial because the team can't afford it because of cap or whatever reason, or they're not a priority. Or like Paul Posluszny, Buffalo wasn't going to pay him the money because he wasn't a 3-4 linebacker.
Right, he didn't fit. And
which
that's sort of why Mario Williams is out there.
Right. That's, I mean,
it's a different fit.
I think that was just them screwing up. I think Paul Posluszny fits in any defense.
True.
There are mistakes.
No, but I'm saying
that
the
are
perception
made.
Their perception
it
is.
Right.
That's their perception.
Well, and the injury bug followed him around, too. I mean, they were talking about a guy who couldn't stay healthy.
Right.
And
I think,
did until the very
I think Vincent Jackson, I think San Diego would take him back at a certain price, but I think they're willing to let him go because of the baggage off the field, because of the history between him and AJ. I mean, there's a lot of water under the bridge, and they also have Malcolm Floyd on the roster. I think that's a risk there, and so my whole point is you have to look at the entire picture when you go after these free agents, because there's a reason they're free, and sometimes they're free because they got some warts.
How about Mario Williams?
He's free. For the reason he's free is he doesn't fit in a 3-4, and I think they realize that, and they don't want to pay him the money.
And he's really expensive.
They have cap issues. If they would have franchised him, they couldn't afford him and Arian Foster. And they, in my opinion, made a evaluated the situation. And Arian Foster was more important to that team than Mario Williams.
Especially with
and they were the number two. They were the number two defense in the NFL without Mario Williams.
With some young up
and
coming
defenders. Barrett Reed and Connor Barth
did pretty good.
Played pretty well.
And the cap, he would have been.
He'd have crippled them.
Horrendous for their cap, and they're in a situation where they want to be good for.
What
for
was
a few
his
years.
Tag number?
21.9 Yeah, I mean, it was right. It was big.
Yeah, and I'll say this:
a lot of money, baby.
And he'll cripple some another team too.
Oh yeah,
but not.
Not the same.
That bad.
Not for $20+ million a year.
Right.
What's he worth? If you wanted to go get him, what would you be willing to pay?
I mean,
13, 14.
I mean, I'd love to pay three and get him.
Yeah.
You know, $3 million a year. But I mean, a free agent elite pass rusher is going to be worth double digits a year.
Aside from Peyton being the guy, he's going to get overpaid.
Sure. He's going to get overpaid. And listen, he's a really, really good player. I'm not sure he's a great player. I mean, he disappears. There'll be games where he'll disappear.
You know, when I
watch you have to account for
watching
him.
I'm
not. Which makes him worth being a free
agent.
Have
to account for him, but I said it last week during the show, is that there are plays that you watch that he has that you go, that didn't look very good. You know, what's wrong with him? You know, is he hurt? You know, what's wrong with the motor? He's not one of those. He's, like I said, he's not like a Lawrence Taylor. He's not.
No.
One of those guys that changes the game every play.
I think we're talking about Mario. I think the most intriguing player that the Jaguars need to try to get re-signed, and the question is Mincy. Do you get him re-signed? Is that going to happen? Because if they don't get Mario, and they don't get Mincy back, then all of a sudden, the end position
is gaping hole.
Yeah, you know, so I think that's a dilemma. I think that's a real dilemma because he's probably going to draw more in the open market than people here think he is worth. And it makes it tough.
Mm-hmm. And going back to Mario, how I always evaluate defensive ends, just personally, is the would I want to play them or not kind of evaluation, or who would I rather play. And if I have to choose today to block Dwight Freeney or Mario Williams, I'd rather go block Mario Williams because it'll be a much easier day than Dwight Freeney.
I agree.
Can Dwight Freeney play on grass?
I think he can. Is he as effective as on the turf? No but
right,
he can
not
play.
As effective, but he's still pretty
he
good.
He can play.
Grass.
And I'll tell you, if I have to choose.
But he's a situational player. Mario's an every down guy.
I'm just telling
Freeney
you.
Freeney can play the run.
He can too. You watch him play the run. He plays better than he gets credit for. And I'm just.
He can play it, but he doesn't.
Watching the tape last year, if I had to choose, I choose to play Mario.
That's because you don't want to give up a sack. But I'm talking about
I'm talking about
play
lining in. Up and playing 70 plays, Jeff. I would rather play against Mario all day long. Run, pass, take a knee, goal line, field goal, whatever dang play you want to put out there, I choose to play him against than Freeney. I'm not saying he's more valuable overall.
I'm not evaluating it. I'm just saying
I think Freeney's a scarier player.
There were a lot of moments last year where Dwight Freeney just stopped.
They were 0-13.
I know.
Right.
But
I
you
saw
know
that
what?
Same thing.
Robert
Jeff.
Mathis didn't.
I did not see that very often when they were competitive.
All right, that'll do it. Free agency will be underway when we reconvene next Wednesday evening at 6:06 right here on News Talk WOKV. Thanks for listening to Jaguars Radio.